kind of theory from like the 1600s about this kind of like essence, I suppose, that everything has, and that, but then he kind of still had this idea of kind of like a hierarchical kind of feeling about everything. So like we as humans name everything, so therefore like we're at the top because we're able to name everything. And and then what was it, each inner characteristics or essence of a thing is expressed in its outward shape, form or signature. So that's kind of like what the signature is, I guess, but I was still a little bit unsure what exactly it meant, I suppose.
Yeah, I was also thinking, is it like kind of a soul or this kind of thing, or is it the signature that we name the things?
Yeah, or is it like something that we kind of like leave behind constantly, almost? I don't know, but yeah. But I guess the thing about like, say like our signature is that it's kind of like within us, whether as with plants, it's kind of the outward, so the signature is the body as well, whether as it may be different for us or something. But yeah, he used like the word like imprint as well. So I don't know, it kind of reminded me of last week about the remark, that kind of idea a little bit, but then that's also confusing as well. But
do you read the God text or system of
Phytographia? It's the other text, it's the
photo
literature as plant writing.
Okay. I read first two pages of the
We're on page
We're on page 5 and 6, kind of, so.
Kind of
in between. yes.
Oh, there's this line. Is it the? It's on the.
The last bit of the fifth page.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This human being could easily uncover the best use of each tree, bush, herb or flower by attending to the shape of given plant. Therefore, the physician who understands the signature may best all gather the herbs himself. That was from the book, I guess.
Yeah, and that like, what was it? Plants were particularly appropriate to treat an illness related to a given part of the body because they resembled this particular organ. So that was kind of like a notion that, but yeah, so like for plants anyways, it says, this is the second paragraph of page 6, but for if the shape of an entity expresses its essence, then that essence is already determined by the form. So I was kind of trying to tease out that sentence, but
before that,
yeah,
he's also talking about this, the bodies of animals and plants and also of humans expressed who they were in an ongoing commerce between inner and outer realities that resulted in the undoing of this very distinction. For flora, the signature is clearly the essence. Where's the...
Yeah, so I think like it's, yeah, just once again saying that like the, say a like the leaf is the essence or something, right? That the I don't know.
Then there was this Walter Benjamin's Language of Things. And I was it like he's kind of continuing this, or there is some similarities to Böhme?
He maintains that all entities are pregnant with meaning. So there is no event or thing in either animate or inanimate nature that does not in some way partake in languages. This use of language is in no way metaphorical. So that every being kind of, or everything has a language of its own, which kind of maybe goes back to the fact that like plants can write in a way, I suppose, or that they're present in writing. But then there was something he said as well that he kind of says this thing underneath them, the language of things are imperfect and they are dumb, so they are denied the pure formal principle of language, namely sound, but more decisively because they lack the ability to name themselves and other entities. So like the fact that they can't name themselves in his kind of view makes them kind of imperfect, I suppose, which is, I don't know, maybe a...
You know, at some point he's talking about the language that we, or our perception, that we can never get rid of that, of course. I don't remember which part that was.
Yeah.
I think was it earlier?
Yeah, but I think then it's also like which is, that's kind of up to opinion, like which is a better language, like this kind of mute, like sensual language, rather than a kind of our language that, and we have so many different ones and all this, and you know, which one is really imperfect, I don't know. And then he also made the point that like we've always tried to canonize things, so like maybe humans in general have always tried, maybe in history, to control things as well, and that like we can still keep the mystery of the fact that we will never really understand the language of plants, like literally, but maybe more to kind of understand that there is one. This is page 8. I don't know, but which one?
The same.
Okay.
Yeah, you were talking about this.
Yeah. Silent. Oh, there's this thing as well that like that plants kind of like are quiet kind of as a form of resistance. So like nature's muteness is thus not only the cause of its servitude, but also as a form of resistance against the subjection to humans. So it's kind of like, I don't know, for me that just meant kind of maybe like a silent protest almost or something. Against like people trying to understand.
There is this idea of paradise also, but I don't know, this he's talking about it quite a lot, and about Benjamin posits the move from the language of things to the language of man as the infinite task of translation, his version of the interpretation of each thing's signature.
We could always go down to the. I don't know. Did I end the song?
Yeah, let's do that.
Yeah. There's the last chapter, which is on page 12, which is like actually like about kind of plants actually being present in writing, but also writing. And I don't know, I found that really nice and kind of interesting chapter, I guess.
Mm.
But
and this is like, he said that it's example for this word, photographia, also. But do you want to talk about it more?
Yeah.
Oh, it was just, yeah, in the beginning, just so, like the one sentence, but about the, you can talk about this.
Yeah. Yeah, so I guess there was like, in terms of like people, like throughout the ages, like in writings, like obviously plants have been present kind of in a lot of different writings, but like especially with like as regards like the Amazon, they've been kind of depicted as both these paradises but then also these hells and kind of, but still kind of like completely from the view of people, so not really maybe from the point of view of plants, I guess. But there was one guy and he kind of like described people as kind of like these impertinent intruders that kind of invaded kind of like a sovereign nature, I guess. But I think the whole idea of like photography for me was like that when plants kind of spoke through writings, not from kind of the point of view of man, but like when they, I don't know, kind of transcended that, I guess, a bit. And there was that text, where was this page? The one about the hallucinations or something? Where was that page? Oh yeah, this one. So at the bottom of page 14, it's one called The Vortex. And I don't know, that sounded quite nice. So at the start it was kind of like a fairly conventional clash of man against nature. But there's kind of one bit in it that maybe I'll read, but it's about like they were hallucinating.
Had this fever or something, and they were in the Amazon forest, and they were really sick and having these hallucinations.
Yeah. Where was that bit again?
Wait.
Claims.
Is it the next page?
Maybe it's here. So this is like a bit from the book. So it's like, he spoke of the trees as, of the trees of the forest as paralyzed giants that at night called to each other and made gestures. They complained of the hand that scorned them, the axe that felled them. They were condemned to flourish, flower, grow, perpetuate their formidable species, unfructified, unfedunctated, uncomprehended by men. Pippa, one of Arturo's companions, reproduces his monologue of the voice of talking trees, a long-standing trope of religion and of literature, who complain about the destruction brought to the land by greed and about their inability to communicate their aspirations to humankind. So that was just kind of like a bit of it, but yeah, it's kind of like where the trees or become the narrators of the story instead of the humans for a while, which I thought was kind of nice. And I think that's what maybe photographia means, a little bit or something, that it's kind of like a signature left. I don't know if you have anything to say.
No, I don't have.
I think, like, even in the text, like, Patricia uses like words like entanglement, which is kind of like implies this kind of meshing between like humans and plants, and how that kind of comes out every now and again and that kind of thing. I don't know, did anyone else read that text or?
Did you get anything from that now?
The last chapter is really nice though.
Yeah.
It's kind of interesting. The other bit is a bit more kind of theory based, which is also interesting as well, but it's kind of hard to follow sometimes.
There was also a critique, I think, what she wrote to Benjamin. I don't remember what was it, but yeah, I think she has kind of a point there, but I think this was a little bit difficult text for me, a little bit, or more difficult than the other. It was easier for me to follow, because it's also like plant writing, it's a little bit more abstract.
Yes, yeah, an abstract concept, yeah.
The
last thing that I was just reading, that's the one I thought was kind of nice. It's called Amazonian Literature, and it's on page 12.
Yeah.
So, because I think, like, once again, it's kind of something that's really ambiguous kind of concept.
And there was also somewhere like why we are interested about what would plant say to us if we could hear them, or if we have the same language, and that interest has been in the human history a long time, and I think that was the reason also for this writing.
Yeah, and this kind of like a constant interest that keeps kind of coming back up.
There's been like plant tales for a long time, and
there was something about how, like, where was it? About art as like a language that maybe can better represent plants more so than I forget where it was, but that was kind of interesting as well. I'll try and find it. Maybe it's up there.
I can read the sentence from this. There is the line from that: does the human wish to know the stories of plants, not express a burning desire to dominate and possess them? Like, is, yeah, which one is it? Why we are interested about this? And in our push to render everything and every being completely transparent, are we not obliterating what we are trying to know? Three. In the beginning.
Yeah, and I think like even at the start of the murder text as well, like he puts this paragraph at the start that kind of like outlines plant thinking and then also like the philosophy must rely on a combination of the four senses as not to dominate the target of its investigations. So I think maybe, I don't know if that means the same thing, but kind of like to have kind of make sure that it, you're not maybe intruding or something like.
It's true. And this continues that it would serve us well to heed the warning of philosopher blah blah Emmanuel Levinas, according to whom knowing the other is tantamount to destroying her, him, or it. So yeah, it's about like which way you want to go, you want to know.
They talk about hallucinogenics in this context. Or
yeah, it was in the Amazon.
Sorry, I haven't read this.
No, no problem.
That seems like probably the most kind of obvious way to sort of enter somehow into an understanding of how it functions somehow. You know, any other way doesn't seem like we're just kind of on the exterior and it's impenetrable. Like, it's not, you just can't. You know, it's beyond our understanding. So, and I suppose throughout history, that's kind of been, or you know, that's how people always kind of, maybe treated a disconnect, was to take hallucinogenics and to kind of find a way or something.
Yeah, because I think like sitting down and maybe like thinking about it isn't like the right way maybe of going about it, because like it kind of contradicts the whole point of like how a plant thinks in a way. I don't know if that makes sense, but
it seems almost like a violent thing to try and understand in the first place, you know. It's like another human desire to like you say,
And there's still like that sense of kind of like hierarchy, maybe, or that thought still. So.
Was it there?
Yep. There's one thing about like Derrida, but I don't understand it at all.
Well, we can try to talk about it.
Yeah, there was on page 10, there's like one paragraph about Derrida and this kind of arc writing. And to be honest, I didn't really get it, because I think the whole point was that you're looking at something kind of beyond the realms of time and space, which for me is, I don't know, kind of hard to even think about. But I think that also goes back maybe to the other text as well.
Was there an explanation about this art writing somewhere?
I think a bit before art writing.
Before controlling,
here's a ventralist error. I think it's here, so.
Should we read it?
Yeah, I can read you like the sentence for the arc writing. So the French philosopher, the very end of page 10, so like the last sentence. So the French philosopher positions himself against Western thoughts biased in favor of spoken language or photocentrism, which creates the illusion that each utterance can be traced back to its origin by following the voice to its source in the body of a given human being. Going against this metaphysical fixation on presence, Derrida suggests instead that only a generalized inscription of entities and events in the world, and in fact of the world itself, creates the conditions of possibility of any form of language, be it human or non-human, spoken or written, to thrive. So maybe it's trying to kind of like come back and really generalize things to try and find real similarities between different forms of language or something. So trying to reduce it down, I think. I'm not sure. But I found that a really difficult concept to grasp.
Yeah, it's very conceptual. Mm-hmm. So about the, also about the signature rerum, or how to pronounce it, but yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Comments?
Yeah.
I think that's it.
Yeah, I think so. If anyone.
Did they continue until 4 or something? Or I don't know.
So thanks for this, Peter Kruger thing, because I didn't read it, but now I feel like I know kind of a lot about it.
How would you summarize what would be the core concept of this text? Please. Get 3 sentences. Please.
Can the plant speak?
Yeah. I don't know, for this one anyways, like how do they speak through us, or how are they represented maybe through writing? I don't know. And if so, like, is it us or is it them, or yeah, just more questions really.
Mm.